Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Lamed. We will begin on Daf Kuf Lamed, Amar Aleph, at the Mishnah. Our Mishnah essentially reviews the machloikas that we've had between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yochanan and Breika, where somebody uses the word Yerusha, because as we learned in our previous shiur, and we'll Mitzvah Shem learn in our future shiurim, that everybody is in agreement that if the word matana is used, so even if you end up giving the gift to someone who's not a rightful Yairish, it's effective. But as we have learned, if the word Yerusha is used, it has to follow the rules of Yerusha. And Rabbanan therefore hold that if somebody uses the word Yerusha and ends up not dividing his estate according to the rules of the Torah, as set forth by the Torah, his statement is ineffective. Rabbi Yochanan Breik is more lenient. And he says that if you use the word Yerusha, and the person you ended up giving a larger portion of your Yerusha to, of your estate to, is a real Yerush, classical example, as we will learn in the Mishnah, is where you have a number of sons. And we'll make it simple, even though the Gemara will discuss a different scenario where none of them are Bechor. So all of your sons are Yarshim. So Rabbi Yochanan Breika's opinion is that if you give one son a larger portion, even though the real rule is that they should all divide the estate equally, his statement of doing so is effective. And that machloikus between Rabbi Yochanan Breika and Rabbanan is the subject of our shir. Says the Mishnah, Oim ish pliny Yerushani. If somebody says that this person should be my Yairish b'makom she'eshbas, in a place where he has daughter or daughters, that we have learned earlier in our perek, that if a person doesn't have sons, his daughters are his Yarshim, or he says, Biti tarishani b'makom she'eshben, my daughter should be my Yairish where he has sons, like Omeklon. His statement is meaningless. Shehista mashakos v'tayra. Rabbi Yochanan Breika, however, is of the opinion. Im Amar, as we explained in our introductory remarks, Im Amar Amisha Yoru L'Yorshai, that he was referring to someone who should be his Yorish. And, in other words, he chose to give one of his sons a larger portion, Dvarav Kiyamim. What he says remains valid. Only Amish in Roy Loyal Yarshai. If he chose to give Yerusha to somebody who is not a Yerush at all, there Rabbi Yochanan ben Breik will agree that his statement ain't Vav Kiyamim, his statement is halachically meaningless. However, the Paiskim and the Rishaydim, the Achroinim, mention many different factors in understanding this machlokes. One point that the Mefarshim make is that even according to Rabbi Yochanan Breika, that we just learned, one can choose to give a larger portion of his Yerusha to one of his real Yarshim. It's only effective if he specifically said it that way, where he said, I'm going to give this Yairish a larger portion. But let's say he said it not as a positive statement, but rather as a negative statement, saying, I'm not going to give that Yairish a piece of the property, a piece of the Yerusha, then a statement is, even according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika, not valid. Another din that the Paiskim say is, again, the scenario that we discussed, where somebody has a number of sons, and therefore, since only his sons are his Yarshim, if he chose to use the word Yerusha and give it to his daughters, even Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika would agree that his statement is meaningless. Say the Mefarshim, let's say he did make the statement. And by the time Rachman al-Slan, he passes away, his sons aren't alive, his sons didn't leave any children. With there, his daughters are indeed his Yarshim. Do we say, since at the moment he made a statement, it was a meaningless statement, therefore the statement never becomes a valid statement? Or do we say that since ultimately it does have validity because ultimately his daughters did turn out to be his yarshim. His statement is a valid statement. And it seems to be the opinion of most, of almost everybody I saw, that certainly the statement is invalid. Because we look at the moment the statement was said, and at that moment, his daughters weren't his yarshim, and therefore even Rabbi Yochanan Breuker would be in agreement that we don't take that statement into consideration. We then have a very fundamental machlokes achronim, as we have learned earlier in our perek. Somebody's sons are his yarshim. If he doesn't have sons, his daughters are his yarshim. If he doesn't have daughters, his father is his yarish. If his father is not alive, his brothers are his yarshim. So what would be the halacha, asked the Paiskim, according to Rabbi Yochanan Breuker, where somebody has only his brothers as his yarshim, and he chooses to say that one brother should get a larger portion than all the other brothers? They're his yarshim. And therefore, it seems that if we follow the opinion of Yochanan Breuker, if he chose to give to one of his yarshim a larger portion, it would be valid. And that is indeed the position of many Paiskim. However, there are many Paiskim that disagree. They say, even Rabbi Yochanan Breuker, who says that one has the right to choose one yarish to get a larger portion versus all the other yarshim, Rabbi Yochanan Breuker is only referring to a situation that these yarshim are his direct descendants, his sons, his daughters, his father. But as we have learned earlier in our parak, and we discussed this at great length, when one's yarshim are his brothers, they're not really his direct yarshim. Rather, we spoke many times about the concept of mishmush, that really his father is his yarish. But here, unfortunately, his father is no longer alive, and therefore his brothers take the place of their father and become his yarshim. So they're not considered direct yarshim, and therefore many paiskim are of the opinion that when did Rabbi Yochanan ben Breuker say his halacha? He only says his halacha to direct yarshim, not to yarshim who are yarshim derech mishmash. Another very fundamental question and very fundamental machlokes. This could come up very frequently. The case of our Mishnah, where there are a number of sons, and this father chose to give one son a larger portion than all his other brothers. That's his decision today. Next week he changes his mind. Now there's another son that he likes better, and he wants to give another son a larger portion, and the other son a smaller portion. Can he change his mind? Or, a similar question. He makes the statement today. The father could still be a young man when he makes the statement. He makes the statement today. And then afterwards, he still acquires new assets. Will the statement that he said today apply even to the new assets that he didn't have at all when he made the statement? Or is the statement only going to be applicable to the assets that he owns when he makes the declaration? And it's actually, as the Mefarshim explained, the subject of a machloikis between the Ktsois and the Nesivis. The Ktsois says that the way to understand Rabbi Yochanan Breuker's opinion is that when Rabbi Yochanan Breuker says that this son should get the larger portion, the Torah gave the father the right to do that. And when the Torah gave the father the right to do it, what the Torah is saying is that the father could declare that this son is the Yairish. That this son is his Yairish. And therefore, once he has been identified and established to be the Yairish, you can't go back on that. It's as if the Torah declared him to be the Yairish. And therefore, whatever percentage the father said this son should get of the Yerusha, that son should get, no matter what. If, however, says the Nesivis, a different opinion. The Nesivis' opinion is, that's not that the Torah, according to Rabbi Yochanan Breuker, gave the father the right to say that this son should be the Yerush, or this son should be the Yairish at this percentage. Rather, says the Nesivos, what the Torah gave the father right is to declare that I want to give this piece of property or this asset to the son. If so, says the Nesivos, it's only the he didn't make this son into the Yairish, and therefore he could change his mind. It's only an asset that he had when he made the declaration. Assets that come later, weren't spoken about, and they're the regular rules of Yerusha, as we learned earlier, would apply. Another place, another situation where the machloikis of the tzois and the nesivis would be applicable is a very interesting question. Our Mishnah says, according to Rabbi Yochanan Breika, you could choose to give one Yairish, a real Yairish, a larger portion than the other Yarshim. So what would be the din if a father only has daughters? And as we've learned, and learned many times, that a father only has daughters, they're his Yarshim. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan Breika would be of the opinion that if a father only has daughters, and he chose to give one daughter a larger portion, that's fine. And that's what happened. A man has only daughters, and he chose to give one daughter a larger portion. After he made this declaration, a son was born to him. What would be the halacha? If we follow the opinion of the tzois, so according to the tzois, he has already identified this daughter to be that Yairish to whatever percent, and that can't be retracted. And the fact that a son was born later doesn't change that. That's how the tzois will learn. The Nesivos, however, who says that Rabbi Yochanan Breika isn't that far-reaching, that he's making someone into a Yairish, where the Torah didn't call him into a Yairish, then everything would change if a son were to be born afterwards. The Migdash David has a very interesting approach to the Machlokes of the Tzais and the Nesivos. He says that according to the Tzais we've been learning, you can't change your mind. It applies even to assets you didn't own at the time the father made that declaration. He says there's really two ways that the case of Rabbi Yochanan Breika, the two ways you can have this declaration. One declaration is that the father decided, as I said at the beginning of this year, he has a number of sons, and again, we'll make this case simple with his no Bechor, and the father decided to give one son, so really all the sons ought to get equal portions, and the father decided to give one son a larger portion. Or there could be another scenario. Again, there are a number of sons, but it's not that the father decided to give, that it won't be divided equally and one son should get more. He says one son should get everything and the other son should get nothing. Suggest the Migdash David that in a situation where the father said that one son should get everything to the exclusion of all the other sons getting nothing, that's when the halacha will be that according to the Tzais, you can't change your mind. But if all the father did was change the percentages, where he said that one son, instead of all the sons getting an equal share, one son should get more, that isn't as final, and that even the Tzais says the Migdash David would agree the father could change his mind on. One last interesting shaila. As we've discussed previously in our shiurim, Yerusha is not only on money, not only on assets. Yerusha could be in a position. As we've discussed, Yerusha goes, Rabbonis goes Yerusha from a father to a son. So Michas Chinuch asks a very interesting question. There's a father who is a Rav, and he writes it, and he says that even though my oldest son should be the Yairish of my Rabbonis, I choose to give it to a younger son. What would be the halacha? So the Meches Chinuch suggests that even according to the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Breika, that would not be a valid statement. Why? This is a beautiful explanation. He says, what is Rabbi Yochanan Breika saying? As I said a number of times, there are a number of sons, all of them are supposed to be Yarshim, and the father, for whatever reason, chose to give one son more, and automatically, the other sons will get less. So that's on money. That's on assets that could be divided amongst the sons. But in a situation where it can't be divided amongst the sons, there's only one Rabbonus. And that Rabbonus is supposed to go to the other sons. So the relationship of that older son is not like a relationship of a brother to other brothers, but it's rather like a relationship of a brother to sisters. And as we've been learning, we'll learn soon in the Gemara more, Rabbi Yochanan Breitka, at least that's the halacha, holds that you can't give to sisters where there's a brother. You only can change within the brothers, but not give to the sister. In the case of the Rabbanus, the younger brothers to the older brother are like sisters to a brother. And even Rabbi Yochanan Breitka would agree that that can't be done. If you use the word Yerusha. That's the Mechas Chinuch's opinion. There are numerous questions on the Mechas Chinuch's approach. Because the Mechas Chinuch, because we know in the history of Klal Yisrael, there were enough examples where a rabbonus or a position did not go from the father to the older son. The fathers decided to give it to younger sons. The best example is David and Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech wasn't David HaMelech's older son, yet he gave it to him. So the simple teretz is as we've been learning in our entire shiur. This entire discussion, Rabbanan, Rabbi Yochanan Breitka, is only when you use the word Yerusha. So if you use the word Yerusha, there are certain rules that you have to follow, and other things aren't within the halachas of Yerusha. But when you don't use the word Yerusha, as we learned in our previous year, when you use the word Matana, then these rules don't apply. So it could well be that in all those situations where we have fathers saying that younger sons should get the position versus an older son, it wasn't be Yerusha, it was be Matana. Matana is a whole different halacha. Hey, starts the Gemara. Tama, the Acher b'mokim bas. We learned the Mishnah, so we look at the opinion of the Tanakama. Tanakama is saying that he gave a stranger where there is a daughter. Or bas b'mokim ben. Or he chose to give a daughter where he has sons. But it seems that according to the Tanakama of our Mishnah, ben ben abonim, if he chose to give one son more than he chose to give the other sons. Again, our example, where there are a number of sons, no bechor, and they all want to get equal portions, and he gives one son a bigger portion. Or, bas ben abonis, he has a number of daughters, he has no sons, and those sons, he never had sons, so they don't have any descendants. He, dvar of kayamim. Rabbanim will agree that that is acceptable. Ask the Gemara, but let's continue learning the Mishnah. Eim seifa, Rabbi Yochanan Breitka Omer, Amma Mishiroi liyarshoi, Dvar of Kiyamim. Where does Rabbi Yochanan Breitka say his opinion? Rabbi Yochanan Breitka says that if he chose to give a son, one son more than the other sons, that's acceptable. But if the way we're explaining the ratio of the Mishnah, Hainu Tanakama, Rabbi Yochanan Breitka and Tanakama are the exact same opinion. What is the Mechloikis? V'chi Tema. So the Gemara suggests, maybe Rabbi Yochanan Breitka is even more makel than we thought. V'chi teima, Rabbi Yochanan Breitka filo acher b'mokim bas, or bas b'memokim ben kama. Till now, we've always understood the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Breitka, as I've said, and that's really the halacha, that one could choose, if he has sons, he could choose to give one son more than the other sons. But even Rabbi Yochanan Breitka will agree that a daughter, she's not in the running, because she's not a Yairish. Perhaps, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan Breitka will agree that since if a person has sons, even if he has sons, but all those sons die and don't leave any descendants, then his daughters yarshin him. So his daughters are only one madrega, one step removed from Yerusha. Rabbi Yochanan Breitka will say, since they're not that far from the Yerusha, the halacha is you could give it to the daughters also. What will Rabbi Yochanan Breitka agree is not acceptable? Somebody who's 2 degrees removed. That means, if somebody has sons, and he has daughters, and he has brothers, let's say he has no father, make it easy. Sons, daughters, brothers. So the brothers are 2 steps removed. That Rabbi Yochanan Breitka will agree is unacceptable. But daughters who are only 1 step removed, Rabbi Yochanan Breitka could say he could even give it to the daughter. According to this, the machloikas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yochanan Breitka will be as follows. The Tanakam will hold also that if you choose to give one son amongst your sons, it's acceptable. if you have sons. The machloikis will be if you have sons and you chose to give it to a daughter, where according to the Tanna Kamma, that wouldn't be acceptable. And Rav Yochanan Breiku, who's the Meikel, well, even that's acceptable. And here we have a very fundamental machloikis achroinim. What is considered, according to this understanding of the Gemara, what is, according to Rav Yochanan Breiku, considered 2 steps removed? Because he asks the following question. Let's say somebody has 2 daughters. And he chooses, let's say he has no sons, no descendants of sons, make a simple case. He only has daughters and brothers. So do we consider the brothers 1 step removed? Because if the daughters all die, then the brothers will take over. That's the opinion of Shmuel Rozovsky. We don't look at how many daughters he have. We look at categories. So if he has daughters and he has brothers, daughters are category 1, brothers are category 2, uncles are category 3, and Rabbi Yochanan Breiku will be Mako even for brothers. That's how Shmuel Rozovsky learns. The Rishash says no. The Rishash says, let's say he has more than 1 daughter. So even if 1 daughter were to die, so, and without any children, the 2nd daughter is the Yairish. So the brothers, as soon as they are 2 daughters, are already considered two degrees removed. And therefore, according to Rishash's understanding of the Gemara at this point, that would already be considered a situation where the brothers are 2 degrees removed. And even Rabbi Yochanan Breiku would agree that you can't appoint a brother to be a Yairish. Ask the Gemara, how can we explain Rabbi Yochanan Breiku that way? V'tanya Rishmo, b'noish Rabbi Yochanan Breiku Oimer, lo'inechleku abba v'chachomim al acha v'mokim bas. A brother in the place where there are daughters. U'bas v'mokim ben. Or a daughter where there are sons. Shalai ha'maklum. And then even Rabbi Yochanan Breiku will say that that won't be effective. Aman nechleku. Where do we have machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan Breiku and the chachomim? Strictly in the situation that we've always been discussing, abein ben abonim, or bas ben abonis, where you have only sons. And Rabbi Yochanan Breiku says, if you have only sons, you could choose to give 1 son more at the expense of his brothers. And the Rabbanim disagree. Shab oimer yirish, that's acceptable. Rabbi Yochanan Breiku, the chomer lo yirish. So again, ask the Gemara, how can we explain that the machlokes between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yochanan Breiku is how far are we mekel? Would Rabbanan are mekel only between Bein Ben Abonim and Rabbi Yochanan Breiku is even more mekel, where Rabbi Shmuel, his son, explained his father's opinion differently? Answers the Gemara, there are 2 ways of understanding. Yes, Rabbi Shmuel Benoish Rabbi Yochanan Breiku's understanding of his father's opinion is that his father was only lenient in the case of Bein Ben Abonim, but not by somebody the next degree. But that doesn't obligate the Tan of our Mishnah to understand Rabbi Yochanan Breiku that way. In Ibai Seima, Vidakam Loi Nechalku, since Rabbi Shmuel is the one that understands his father's opinion that way, Mechlal Tanakam Sovin Nechalku. Rabbi Shmuel was obviously addressing someone. He's saying, don't say that my father was Mekel, not only to Bein Ben Abonim, but even to Bas Ben Abonim. No, my father wasn't that lenient. But we see that there is an opinion understanding Rabbi Yochanan Breiku differently than the way Rabbi Shmuel understands Rabbi Yochanan Breiku. And that opinion holds. That opinion holds. The Rabbi Yochanan Breiku was even Mekel by Bas Ben Abonim. And that will be the subject of the Mechalikas in our Mishnah. One way of understanding the Mishnah. Ibai Seima, another way of understanding our Mishnah, is not to understand that our Mishnah represents a machloikis between the Tanna Kamma and Rabbi Yochanan Breiku, which leaves us with a problem of how to understand the Tanna Kamma's opinion, how to understand Rabbi Yochanan Breiku's opinion. Rather, our Mishnah, called Rabbi Yochanan Breiku, he completely represents the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Breiku. The Chesur Mech Svachotani, this is the way to understand the Mishnah. Haim Ishpani Yerushayim. If somebody says a stranger, a brother, a stranger, should be my Yairish, but Makum Sheish Bas, where he has Baruch Shem daughters, or he says, Biti Tirushaini, he chooses a daughter to be his Yairish, but Makum Sheish Ben, where he has son or sons, Loy Amaklum. His statement is a meaningless statement. Habas Ben Abonis. However, if he only has daughters, and he chooses to give 1 daughter more than all the other daughters, or Bein Ben Abonim, he has sons, and he chooses to give one son more than he gives any other sons, im oma yershikon chasov, even if he says that that one son amongst all the other sons should get the entire estate, since that son is a Yairish, Dvarav Kiyamim, what he says stands. Rabbi Yochanan Aimru, because it is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, im oma mishi yarshay, if he chooses a person who is his Yairish to give him a larger share than he's really entitled to, Dvarav Kiyamim, what he says stands. And Tosfos makes an interesting observation. He says this is one of the only places in Shas where we have a Gemara saying that the Mishnah is a Chsuri Mechser. We very often have the Gemara saying Chsuri Mechser, that the Mishnah, we have to learn words into the Mishnah. But usually where the Gemara does it is where the Gemara is trying to have the Mishnah follow the opinion of a rabbi. Here we find that the Gemara is trying to explain a Mishnah that it should follow the opinion of a Yochid. Says it's very weird that the Gemara does that. Why? Because says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Mishmul, Halacha Rabbi Yochanan Braita. Because here we go out of the way to try to make the Mishnah fit with Rabbi Yochanan Braita, even though he's only a Yochid, because the Halacha follows Rabbi Yochanan Braita. The Kain Amar Rava, Halacha Rabbi Yochanan Braita. The Halacha follows the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Braita. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, My Tamid Rabbi Yochanan Braita. What is the reasoning for Rabbi Yochanan Braita? Says the Gemara, Amakra, because the Pasuk says, we've learned this Pasuk many times, Ki Yel Ish, Pasuk and Pashas Kiseitse, Ki Yel Ish, Shtei Noshim, Hachas Asnua, Hachas Ahuv, Hachas Asnua, he has two wives, one he loves and one he doesn't, V'haya, Haben HaBechar L'Sniya, and the Bechar that he has is a child of the wife who he dislikes, L'Yucha L'Vakir, when he gives out his Yerusha, he can't give priority to the children of the wife that he likes. The son, who's the Bechor, Yakir, we spoke about Yakir a lot in the previous Shurim, lost his life Pishnaim, that he will get the double portion. What is the Torah saying? The Torah is saying that in the case of Bechaira, that's where the Torah is teaching us, Lo Yucha Levaker. You can't change that rule, because he's a Bechar. In any other scenario, where you're not speaking about a Bechar, the case that we kept on speaking about till now in our Shir, where he has a number of sons, but none of them is a Bechar, the Torah is teaching us, only when there's a Bechar at portion at stake, that's where you can't start manipulating. Otherwise you can. Hatayr Nasr Shus, what the Torah is saying is only Bechar's portion cannot be touched. But otherwise, as Hatayr Nasr Shus L'Av L'Hand Chalchom Mishiyotza. Ask the Gemara, why do we need the Pasuk V'Hoy B'Hom Yanchel? Hom L'Yuch L'Vaka Nafka. We can learn from L'Yuch L'Vaka. L'Yuch L'Vaka teaches us you can't manipulate the share of the Bechar, but you can manipulate anybody else's. Why do we need this Pasuk? Answers the Gemara. Humi Ba'alei L'Chiratanya. Abba Chanan Oim Mishim Rebbe Lezer. Abba Chanan says in the name of Rebbe Lezer, Ma Tam Eloima La Yucha Levaker. What is the Torah teach us La Yucha Levaker? Answers the Braisa. Lefisha Nam V'hoi B'yoyim Anchil Esponov. Since we learned, according to the opinion of Rebbe Yochanan Braita, that you have the right to manipulate the shears of your children, Shiyocha. So then I can make the following logical argument. If amongst your regular children that have an advantage over your Bechor, what is the strength of a regular child over Bechor? Because as we have learned, when it comes to divide a Yerusha, we don't only divide the assets that the father has at hand when he passes away. We also divide the assets that accrue to his estate even after he passes on. Anybody who's a Yairish is entitled to all of the assets, not just the muhsik, not just the assets that are there at the time of death, but all the assets that will come out later. Still, in that case, as of Yochanan's teaching us, you have a right to manipulate that.
And even though the son has is such a strong yayush, that he's not only entitled to the assets that the father has, but even the assets that the father will receive, teaches us, Rabbi Yochanan Broicha, you can manipulate and give one son more than the other. Bechor, shehu akarcha, the bechor who's weaker, she'en anoyt Broicha Mokzik. As we know, we spoke a lot about this, that the bechor only gets what the father has. We tried to define what that means, but he only gets a pishnayim and what the father has, not what he doesn't have at hand. But tzroi, lo koshkein, that the father has a right to manipulate, tamaloymer, a yuchalavakim. The Bechor's portion, as much as Rabbi Yochanan Broicha, based on the Torah, is mekel in manipulating, not to touch the Bechor's shear. But here we have a very fundamental machloikus rishonim, what is considered the Bechor's shear. Machloikus that Ritva quotes between himself and his Rebbe, the Ra'ah. Ritva says that the Gemara is teaching us, the Brais is teaching us, that even according to the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Broicha, he can't touch the Bechor shear. What does the Bechor shear mean? It says the Ritva, the Pishnayim, the extra shear that a Bechor is entitled to. So that means, if the Bechor is entitled to $100,000 as the Pishnayim, because let's say the father left two sons, let's say three sons, we'll make a simple case. The father left three sons, and he left $400,000. So everybody's entitled to $100,000 as their share, plus the Bechor is entitled to another $100,000 for his Pishnayim. So the halacha is, that extra $100,000, says the Ritva, is what the Gemara is teaching us, even according to Rabbi Yochanan Broicha, the father can't touch. But what about the first $100,000? That you could touch, like you can manipulate, as we're going to learn, Rabbi Yochanan Broicha's opinion is, you may. That's Ritva's opinion. The Ra'ah disagrees with Ritva. He says, what is the definition of Pishnayim? The definition of Pishnayim is double. You can't have a double if you don't have a single. You can't get a second portion of supper if you didn't eat your first portion of supper. So if the Torah is teaching us, says the Ra'ah, that even according to Rabbi Yochanan Broicha, you can't touch the $100,000 that the Bechor is getting for his Pishnayim, what the Torah must be teaching us is that you can't even touch his first $100,000. Because if you could touch his first $100,000, then this $100,000 that you're not touching is not the second one, it's the first one. The Torah says you shouldn't touch the second one. You can't have a second if you don't have a first. So you have a very fundamental machloikis. How strong is the position of the Bechor according to this understanding? According to Ritva, he's only protected for $100,000. According to Ra'ah, he's protected for $200,000. Says the Gemara. So we learned now, continues the Braisa, from the pasuk of La Yucha Levaker, that the Bechor's portion can't be touched. So it's obvious that if it's not referring to the Bechor's portion, it can be touched. So therefore, ask the Braisa. So we can already learn from the pasuk of La'yucha Levaker that's only the Bechor's portion that can't be touched, but a regular son's portion can be touched. Why do I also need the pasuk of V'hayi B'yichai M'chil Espanav? Because Shiyochel V'lai Dinhu. Or Ma Bechor Shuhu Rekoichai. If Bechor who's weaker, Shein Anoytel B'roikir M'chsik, that he can't touch what's Roy. Amrit Taira La'yucha Levaker. Poshet Shiyipa Koichai, whose position is stronger, that not only is he entitled to what the father has in hand, but even what he's going to accrue to his estate, that you should be able to touch it. So essentially, the Rishonim say, we have two psukim teaching us the same din. We have one pasuk teaching us, La'yucha Levaker, that the Bechor can manipulate it, everything else can. Vayibi Yamachila teaches us the exact same thing, that a father can manipulate. So Rishonim ask, why do we need two psukim to teach us the same din? And based on Shiurim that we will, in Mitzvah Shem, learn, the Rishonim explain that one pasuk is teaching us that a bori, that a healthy person could do this, another pasuk is teaching us that a shchimira, that somebody who's a shchimira, could do it. That's the easiest shot that I saw.
There are the terutzim that one pasuk is telling us when he does it verbally, another pasuk says when he's doing it in writing. But again, the Rishonim seek situations that we should need both pasukim. Amar Zreka, Amar Rav Ami, Amar Rav Chanina, Amar Rebbe, Halacha Krab Yoichem and Breikam. Halacha follows Rav Yoichem and Breikam. And as the Rishonim explained, we've already learned on the bottom of Amar Aleph that the halacha is like Rav Yoichem and Breikam. Why must the Gemara repeat that the halacha is like Rav Yoichem and Breikam? So Rishonim explained that these words that the Gemara is now quoting that says the halacha Rav Yoichem and Breikam are a perfect introduction to the next Gemara we're about to learn. Because the next Gemara we're about to learn is that it's not always that just because I heard my Rebbe say that the halacha follows, Rabbi Yochim follows a specific opinion, do I follow that opinion? Certain conditions, as we're about to learn, are going to be met. And what they're saying is that all the conditions that the Gemara is now going to teach us must be met, that we should be able to follow and understand that that is indeed the halacha were in place here when they said the halacha is like Rabbi Yochim and Breika, and therefore we could definitively paskin like Rabbi Yochim and Breika. And the Gemara explains itself. Amalei, Rabbi Abba, Hayritma. So, Hayritma. That when we said the halacha is like Rabbi Yochim and Breika, it wasn't just that in yeshiva we heard that the Rebbe said that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochim Breika, but actually we heard them paskin and a shaila that came up that you should follow the opinion of Rabbi Yochim Breika. And what is the machlokes? The ma'ika mifli, ma'asava halacha edifa, or ma'asava ma'isa rav. Machlokes are very fundamental machlokes. What is considered more significant to follow to know what the ruling is? Is it a situation where I heard my Rebbe say that this is the halacha? Or is it where I heard my Rebbe pass in a shayla that came up halacha l'maisa? Machlokes. What's better? What is the basis of the machlokes? Explains the Rashbam. On one hand, you could argue, you could suggest, that if you heard your Rebbe explicitly say that this is the halacha, that's the halacha. On the other hand, you could suggest that maybe the Rebbe only said it because he was in the middle of learning, and as he was learning, it seems to him that that's the way to paskin. But if a shaila were to come to him, and people are relying not just on what he's saying to Shir, but people are relying on his word, they'll follow his word. And therefore, it's hard to know which is stronger. And therefore, the Gemara continues. Tanya Rabbanan, Ein l'meidim halacha, l'mi pi limud. It's interesting. Many Svarim say that the real Girsa is not Mnei Limud, but the right word is Lomi Pi Talmud. Just the censor took out the word Talmud every place in Shas where the word Talmud appeared. And they said, Ein Lomi Halacha Mpi Limud. If you're learning, and while we're learning, I say that the Halacha follows a certain opinion, but I didn't say it Halacha L'maisa, which is what Talmud is all about, we don't follow it. Lomi Pi Maisa, Ach Yoimro. Halach l'maisa. Shal of Amalai halach l'maisa, yelach v'yasa maisa. So what the Gemara is saying, as the Rashbam explains, that in order to know that this is the thing to do, this is the way to act, you have to have one of two conditions. Either when you said the shir, you said that this is the halacha, and you indicated, I'm not just saying it's the halacha because that's how it seems as I'm learning, but I'm telling my Talmidim, know that this is the halacha l'maisa, or a question came up, and the situation, I had to paskin, and as the Mefarshim always say, somebody who has to paskin a shayla has a special siyata d'shmaya to paskin properly, and you heard me paskin to a real live shayla this way. Uvad, shlo yidama. However, when could I follow my Rebbe's psak if one of these two conditions that we just described were met? Is if I don't make any comparison. It has to be the exact situation that my Rebbe spoke about. Ask the Gemara. Uvad shlo yidama. Trying not comparing is not acceptable. Whoever opened the Gemara knows the Harus the Derech HaTorah. It's not that every situation is explicitly mentioned. Certainly not in the Chumash, not even in the Mishnayos. What we do is we try to compare situations. We have precedents, and then we take the halacha that we know is the accepted halacha, and when a new shayla comes up, we try to compare it. So how do you say vach lo yadama? Amar vach yehocha kama. Vach lo yadama betreifis. When it comes to shaylas and treifis, we can't make any comparisons. The Tanya, ein oimer betreifis udoim luzu. With a specific halacha set forth for treifis, we can't extrapolate for them. Vach tama, this shouldn't be difficult for you to understand. Sheichotch mikano mesa. As Mefarshim explained, what is the definition of a treifa? The definition of a treifa is an animal that can't survive for 12 months. And they give a number of examples how to understand this Gemara. The example that Rashbam gives is that halacha is if the tsumas hagidim of an animal are torn, that animal is considered a treifa. The tsumas hagidim is around the knee area. Let's say the animal is torn higher up than the tsumas hagidim. It's not a treifa. It's higher up, it's closer to the heart than to the brain. Doesn't make a difference. That's one way to Rishonim explain. Another way to Rishonim explain is the tchol, the spleen. It's the same spleen. Certain places in the spleen, a puncture makes the animal treif. Other places in the spleen, the animal is fine. Other Rishonim say it's talking about a human being. In a person, if the person has a hole in his hand, he could survive. It's not that geschmack, but he could survive. If he has a hole near his heart, he can't live. So you can't bring a raya from one part of the body to another part. Vamalei Rav Aser Rav Yochanan. Ki amalan mar halacha. If a Rebbe, when he says a shir, says this to halacha, heichin avim maisa, what should we do? Amar, so he responded, lo ta'avidu, you shouldn't follow that, ad minu halacha l'maisa, until he uses the words halacha l'maisa. Amar Rav Rav Papa. When one of my psukim will come to you, and you'll see a question in what I said, don't wrap it up, until you come to me. If what I said can be explained, I will tell you, I'll be the first to retract. However, the Rishonim say, this is a good Hagdamah to Masechet Sanhedrin. You only retract, or Dayan has only a right to retract when he's a Tor B'Dvar Mishnah, not when he's a Tor B'Shikol Hadas. Furthermore, he says, La'acha Misa, let's say I am no longer alive, and you get a psak for me. Lo Mikra Tegrinu, don't be so quick to rip it up. U'migmena Le Tigriminei, but don't learn from it either. Lo Mikra Tegrinu, don't be so quick to rip it up. The Avoy Hasa, perhaps if I was still alive, I would explain what I said and wouldn't be worthy of being ripped up. But don't necessarily follow it. You have to paskin, and if you don't understand, you have to do what you think is right. So I saw, first of all, the Rimigash will go in order. The Rishonim explained that even though here the Gemara is saying that he said to his Talmidim, if after he's no longer alive, a psak that he gave comes, and they don't understand, they don't have to follow it. That's only if it's a different situation. But let's say the Rebbe paskin a specific din Torah. The Rebbe paskin a specific shaila. And then he dies. And then the people who were involved in the din Torah want that psak to be overturned. The Talmidim of that Rebbe, since it's that actual case, have no right to overturn the Rebbe's psak. They could say in another situation, we're not following our Rebbe's psak. But in that, we have no right. The Gemara uses the words, Ein ledayin elamasha ein avroyus. First, I'll explain what does ein ledayin elamasha ein avroyus mean. So one pshat that I saw is we know that the Torah says kashoyched yavre ein echachamim. Some a dayin who takes bribe becomes disqualified and he can't pass the right. Ein ledayin elamasha ein avroyus. A dayin's psak is right as long as his eyes remain pure that he hasn't taken chas v'shalom bribes. But Chazanish has a whole different explanation of Ein Ladayin El Masha Ein Avroyus. He says something that we mentioned a moment ago. In order to pass the Shaila properly, you need to have a Siyata D'Shmaya. Who is worthy of a Siyata D'Shmaya? somebody who has pure eyes, somebody whose eyes see the words of Torah, somebody whose eyes who have learned and doesn't use his eyes for the wrong purposes, he is able to pass in the Shaila properly. But if you have a Dayan who doesn't act appropriately, such a Dayan can't paskin a Shaila. There's a very interesting story that I saw brought down from the Chazon Ish. There was somebody who was having a dispute with someone else. And he didn't know if he should take this other person to the entire. So he thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take this Shaila. And he was an honest individual, and asked the Rav, the Shaila, what would be, if such a Shaila came to you, what would you paskin? We're talking and learning. And the Rav told him, if this Shaila came to me, I think I would say that this side is right. This litigant is right. So he heard that he would do well. So now he went to the Dentaira. He comes to the Dentaira, he loses. So he comes running to the Chazon Ish. I don't understand what happened here. So he says, that's what the Gemara says. Ein l'dayan ela mashe ein arayos. What you see when you're a dayan is not the same when you're learning a Gemara. Because when you're a dayan and you pass on the Shaila with Siyata d'Shemaya, then you pass on the Shaila as the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you to pass on it and the way it's supposed to be a pass on it.